Chapter 4, Arlene. It was not even 7 o'clock. Someone was shaking her shoulder, and without being exactly conscious, she knew by instinct that it was her boy. Mama, are you awake?
Yeah.
Can Jerry come in and take a shower? She blinked and squinted at the clock. She had another half an hour to sleep. Nothing should have been happening now. A dream, maybe. But that's it.
Who's Jerry?
My friend. She hadn't known Trevor to have any friends named Jerry, and now she had forgotten the original request.
Use your judgment. I'll be up in a half hour.
She folded a pillow around her head, and that was the last thing she remembered until the alarm clock went off and she threw the pillow at it. A few minutes later, as she set a bowl of hot cereal in front of the boy, a total stranger popped out of the hall and into the kitchen. She was all set to scream, but felt too embarrassed to follow through. Maybe because, out of the three of them, she was the only one who seemed the least bit surprised. She figured the man to be in his 40s, at least. Short, clean-shaven, with a receding hairline, and he was wearing brand new blue jeans and a stiff-looking denim shirt.
What the? Who are you?
He didn't answer fast enough, so Trevor said, "It's Jerry, Mom. Remember? You said he could come in and take a shower."
"I said that?"
"Yeah.
When did I say that?"
"Right before you woke up." Meanwhile, Jerry had said nothing in his own defense or otherwise, but apparently he was a smart enough man to know when and where he was not wanted, because he began to creep sideways toward the door.
"Thank you, kindly, ma'am," he said with his hand on the knob,
and Trevor asked him, of all the darn things for a kid to say, if he needed money for the bus. The man held out a handful of change, held it out like war medals or rubies, something a darn sight more important than quarters and dimes, that's for sure.
"I saved it, see, from my clothes money."
And Trevor said, "I hope you get the job." And then after the door had closed behind him, Trevor looked up at Arlene like nothing at all had just happened and said,
"You know your mouth's hanging open."
But when he saw the look on her face, he hunkered down over his hot cereal and concentrated on stirring in the sugar.
"Trevor, who the heck was that?"
"I told you, Jerry."
"Who the heck is Jerry?"
"My friend."
"I did not say he could come in here and take a shower."
"Yeah, you did.
You said I should use my own judgment."
She had no memory of saying this, but it rang true, and that it was what she would have said if she was really just trying to stay asleep. Unless the boy was smart enough to know that, that's what she would have said. But it was too early in the morning to sort between things that had happened and those that maybe had. So she said only this: "If your judgment is to let a strange man into our bathroom to shower, then I do believe your judgment needs a tune-up." He tried to argue again that the man was not a stranger, but rather his friend Jerry. But Arlene was not having any of it. She told him only to eat up and get on to school, and that she did not want to see Jerry in the house anymore. Ever. Not under any circumstances. No way, Jose. The minute Trevor was out the door, she regretted having forgotten to ask why he offered Jerry money for the bus. She went straight to the bathroom, which the man had left surprisingly neat, and commenced to sterilize every exposed surface. Maybe 3 days later, maybe four, Arlene arrived home after working at the Laser Lounge until 3 a.m. to discover someone in the driveway tinkering with the light on the wrecked truck. And the fact that she pulled up in front of her own house did not seem to discourage him from his work. She had been afraid of this, being gone as much as she was. Every time someone came to buy parts off the truck and then drove away without buying something, she was half afraid they would come back in the night and take what they wanted. And now look. With a big, deep breath, she kicked the back door open directly into the driveway where the man crouched, working by the light of a metal lamp clipped to the bumper and plugged in somewhere in her own garage, which made her madder somehow, that some low-life thief would use her electricity to see better while robbing her blind.
He jumped up and turned to face her in the dark.
It's only me, he said.
Only you who?
Jerry.
Oh, Arlene thought. Jerry, great.
What are you taking off my truck?
Everything, ma'am. I've been stacking parts in the garage. Trevor told me you were parting out. You can get a lot more money that way.
Did you know that?
You got to give a price break if the people have to pull those parts on their own.
So you're just trying to help out?
She said in that tone that made it clear she didn't think so.
Yes, ma'am.
At 3 o'clock in the morning?
Yes, ma'am. I got me a job now during the day at the Quickie Lube in Toon, a few miles down on the Camino. So if I'm going to help out, it's got to be at night.
She couldn't see his face as well as she'd have liked, dark as it was, but his voice sounded pretty matter-of-fact, and the whole incident was beginning to get under her skin. Picking up his little work light, she walked to the garage to see for herself. He had parts stacked all neat in there, with a door and a bumper and seats, and he had things labeled with something like a grease pen, driver's side, front, rear. She stepped out again and shone the light straight at him. He threw a hand up to shield his eyes.
Did I ask you to help?
No, ma'am, but it's something I'm good at. I used to work at a wrecking yard, and the boys helped me out a lot.
Trevor been giving you money?
Yes, ma'am, just to get me on my feet, you know, to get cleaned up enough to get a job again, like that.
And now you got a job. You gonna pay him that money back?
No, ma'am, I'm not allowed to. I have to pay it forward.
Pay it forward? What the heck does that mean?
He seemed surprised that she was not familiar with the term. And meanwhile, it had become something like a normal conversation, with Arlene not entirely having the upper hand, and the fact that she couldn't get mad at him made her even madder.
You don't know about that? You ought to talk to him. I'm surprised he didn't tell you about it. Something he's working on for social studies class. He could explain it better, though. You know, if you got $10 to rent a hoist, I'll pull that engine and put it on blocks and tarp it, save you a bundle.
No offense to you personally, but I told Trevor I did not want you around the house.
I thought you told him you didn't want me in the house.
What's the difference?
Well, the difference is, one way I'm in the house, and the other way I'm out of it.
Excuse me, I think I better go have a talk with my boy.
But Trevor was so sleepy, all he could say was, "Hi, Mama, and is everything okay?" And when she told him Jerry was out in the driveway taking the truck apart, he said, "That's good." And she couldn't be upset with him. He was just like his father in that respect. Because it is always so much easier to blow off steam to a stranger, Arlene went down to Trevor's school to have a talk with this Mr. St. Clair. She went to the office first thing before class started in the morning, hoping she would not even run into Trevor, and that he would never have to know she'd been there. The office lady told her to go right up. She got halfway through the door into his classroom, stopped, and misplaced all that good steam she had built up, because she had never seen a man with only half a face. It's one of those things, takes a minute to adjust to, and she knew if she took even 1 minute more, he would notice that she had noticed his unfortunate scarring, which would be just plain rude. This whole scene had gone very smoothly in her mind on the way to school, where she had been angry, well-spoken, and really quite good. She moved through the room toward his desk. He was still waiting for something to be said.
"What's paying forward?"
"Excuse me?"
"That expression, paying forward, what does it mean?"
"I give up. What does it mean?"
"That's what you are supposed to tell me."
"I would love to, madam, if I knew.
If you don't mind my asking, who are you?"
"Oh, did I forget to say that?
Excuse me, Arlene McKinney."
She reached her hand out and he shook it. Trying not to look at his face, she noticed that his left arm was deformed somehow, the wrong size.
which gave her the shivers for just a second. "My boy is in your social studies class, Trevor." Something came onto his face then, a positive recognition, which, being connected in some way to her boy, made her like this man better. "Trevor, yes, I like Trevor. I particularly like him. Very honest and direct." Arlene tried for a little sarcastic laugh, but it came out a snort, a pig sound, and she could feel her face turn red because of it. "Yeah, he's all of that, all right. Only you say it like it's a good thing." "It is, I think. Now, what's this about paying forward? I'm supposed to know something about that?" Actually, she'd been hoping for a laugh, a smile, something besides his businesslike manner. A bad sense was forming of Mr. St. Clair looking down his nose at her in some way she could never entirely prove. "It has something to do with an assignment you gave out?" "That's what Trevor said. He said it was a project for your social studies class." "Ah, yes, the assignment." He moved to the blackboard and she swung out of his way as though there were a big wind around him that kept her from getting too close. "I'll write it out for you, exactly as I did for the class. It's very simple." And he did. "Think of an idea for world change and put it into action." He set his chalk down and turned back. "That's all it is. This paying forward must be Trevor's own idea." "That's all it is? That's all?" Arlene could feel a pressure building around her ears, that clean, satisfying anger she'd come here to vent. "You just want them to change the world? That's all? Oh, well, I'm glad you didn't give them anything hard." "Mrs. McKinney, now you listen here. Trevor is 12 years old, and you want him to change the world? I never heard such bull. First of all, it's a voluntary assignment for extra credit. If a student finds the idea overwhelming, he or she need not participate. Second of all, what I want is for the students to re-examine their role in the world and think of ways one person can make a difference. It's a very healthy exercise." "So is climbing Mount Everest, but that might be too much for the poor little guy, too." "Did you know Trevor has taken a homeless man under his wing and brought him into my house? A homeless man, a total stranger. This guy could have problems we know nothing about. What do you suggest I do about the trouble you've caused?" "I suggest that you talk to Trevor, lay down the house rules. Tell him when his efforts on the project conflict with safety. You do talk to him, don't you?" "What kind of question is that? Of course I talk to him. It just seems odd that you would come all the way down here to find out what paying forward is when Trevor could tell you." Leaving the room was becoming a more and more appealing option. "I guess this was a mistake." Obviously, nothing was being accomplished here. "Miss McKinney," his voice hit her back a few steps into a long stride to safety and freedom. She almost kept walking, but like ignoring a ringing phone, it was too contrary to human nature. She spun around to face this man, whom she now openly disliked. "What?" "I hope you'll forgive my asking this, but is Trevor's father dead?" Arlene blinked as though she had been slapped. "No, of course not." "I hope not." "Did Trevor tell you that?" "No, he said something strange. He said, we don't know where he is. I thought maybe he was being euphemistic." "Well, we don't know where he is." "Oh, well, I'm sorry. I just wondered." Bewildered now, she struck for the door and nothing could have stopped her. What a way to feel like a complete idiot. Not only did she just admit that the father of her child hadn't so much as sent a Christmas card home, but now she'd have to go find a dictionary and look up the word euphemistic. See what he just accused her son of being. It better not have been an insult. and that's all she could think. From the diary of Trevor. Sometimes I think this idea is gonna be so great, and maybe it is. But then other times, I remember other things I thought would be great, like when I was real young, like 10 or something. And now that I'm big, I can see what a crock it is. So then I think, what if this all bombs out? Then Mr. St. Clair won't be all impressed with me. And then in a few years, I'll look back and think, boy, was I stupid. It's really hard to know what's a good idea when you're growing, and these ideas don't hold still, and neither do you. Mom doesn't like Jerry at all, which is funny because he's a lot like Dad, except Dad is cleaner. But if Mom would let Jerry in the house, he'd be cleaner too. Maybe if she didn't keep letting Dad in, he'd look just like Jerry. Maybe wherever he is, he already does.